This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Oh, it's 9:20 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Keith Cobb. Let's get a quick update on the FBM KLCI. Hopefully it's still in the green. And I believe, yes, it is so.
It is. In fact, it's gone up even more. It's up by 0.6% to 1,556 points. I think really very much due to two banking stocks moving up, which is Maybank, which is up 1.2% to R9.76, and CIMB also up close to zero, well, actually almost up 1% to R6.62.
Well, that does put the FBM KLCI 7% up on a year-to-date basis. But let's zoom in on to a particular sector, and that is the Consumer Product Index of Bursa Malaysia. We're looking at it. It's about 4.3% up on a year-to-date basis. It's underperforming the broader FBM KLCI index, which is up by about 7%, as mentioned earlier.
And reasons for this include rising commodity prices, subdued consumer sentiment, and the weak ringgit having a negative impact on margins as well as consumption. But if markets are expected to be volatile and investors increasingly search for a risk-off stocks, is it time now for a relook at consumer stocks due to their defensive qualities?
For some thoughts on this, we turn to Genevieve Ng, consumer and glove analyst with MIDF Investment Bank. Genevieve, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So what does the economic data tell us about the state of the Malaysian consumer? Employment still remains steady, but what is the sentiment?
Hi, morning, and thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure to engage with BFM again. So, well, we observed that the continued growth in the retail trade in February 2024, particularly in the non-specialized and the F&B stores, and the unemployment rates remain low at 3.3%. GDP expanded almost 3.9% year-on-year in first quarter 2024. And in terms of the consumer sentiment, although we don't have the first quarter consumer sentiment data as of now, but the MIER reported a rather pessimistic CSI for fourth quarter last year, falling below the 100% point. So these sentiments could reflect concerns over the rising cost of living. So going forward, we anticipate that the domestic consumption will remain buoyant, boosted by the recovery in the tourism activities, positive labour market conditions and rising incomes, and government's assistance initiatives such as the cash handouts and targeted subsidy will further support the spending. But we are aware that the already implemented low value good tax, expanded scope and the heightened service tax, upcoming high value good tax and the shift to the targeted fuel subsidy are likely to exert further pressures on the cost of living expenses. Hence, we are closely monitoring how consumer sentiment will be influenced by the inflationary outlook going forward.
So, Genevieve, when this subsidy rationalization starts to impact RON 95 as well as the cost of living pressures, how do you see consumption patterns being impacted after all these happen?
Well, it's a very good question. Based on our recently released thematic reports, subsidy rationalization, our in-house economist has outlined four potential scenarios for RON 95 price rationalization, in which three seems more plausible. So first of all, under the scenario one, that the RON 95 fuel price will remain status quo. So this will likely to have no impact on both consumer sector, both from the consumer and the company perspective. But moving on to the scenario two, we anticipate that the possibility of the gradual monthly increments of 5 cents to reach R3.40 by end of 2024. So this is expected to have manageable impact on both consumer and company perspective, as this approach will allow consumer more time to adjust their spending habits gradually. And consumers may opt for alternative transportation modes like public transport or carpooling. But for scenario three, we expect a likelihood of a one-off increase in RON 95 to R2.40. So we believe that the consumer are likely to feel more immediate pinch with a shift adjustment in the consumer's pattern for all items. So this is likely to have a bigger impact on both consumers and companies' perspective for the sector. And shifting focus to the digital rationalization, it is likely to incur greater cost impact on the consumer companies, given that the diesel is predominantly used in the commercial vehicles. And we believe that any cost fluctuations are likely to be passed on to the consumer company through the logistic providers. But on the positive note, the My Subsidy Diesel system could offset the impact as those approved road transport logistic companies with fleet cards are allowed to purchase subsidized fuel, which could potentially alleviate the burdens on the consumer company. But for now, we are still waiting for more details, particularly whether the companies with their own fleets will benefit from the subsidized diesel prices.
Now, the other headwind I see are the rising cost of many of the key ingredients like sugar, cocoa, and even palm oil prices have been on the rise. So which companies will be impacted in the consumer space? And can they pass on this rising cost, or will we see margin compression, which is probably not helped from the recent ringgit weakness either?
Yeah, you are right. But actually, regarding the sugar, cocoa, and even palm oil elevations, we are relatively neutral on the elevated sugar price. This is considering that the normalizations from their two-year peak and the greater global sugar supply from Brazil is likely to offset the ongoing shortages from India. And also the recent temporary spike in the CPO prices, mainly because of the dry weather conditions, is also manageable, as it is currently trading below the two-year peak. But of the greater concern is the trippings of the cocoa prices, with 3 months cocoa futures increased over 200% year-on-year. Therefore, we believe that the greater impact on the cocoa grinders and the manufacturers of the cocoa and chocolate-related products, we believe that those selected impacted F&B companies, particularly those products that significantly exposed to the cocoa and sugar ingredients, are likely to be to pass on the higher cost through the product price hike. But we think that the immediate pass-through of the sugar and the palm oil cost, given the elevation, is a bit unlikely for the certain F&B products, given that most of the players have already adjusted their product price since FY22. And the normalizations in other commodities may partially offset the higher sugar and CPO prices. Going forward, we foresee that the focus on the cost efficiency improvement will remain as a top priority. With F&B players, they might want to retain the customer through competitively priced products, at least in the near terms.
All right, Genevieve, we have about 30 seconds left on the clock. What is your call on the consumer sector, and what would be your top three buys?
All right, we maintain neutral on consumer sector because of the potential inflationary pressures, but we maintain positive outlook on staple goods. And we only have one topic for now, given that the recent share price hike in QL has automatically downgraded to neutral call. And we continue to like F&N as our topic, with a buy and target price of 37 ringgit, as we believe the F&N stands to benefit from the recent heat wave experience across part of Southeast Asia and the Hari Raya celebrations.
Genevieve, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Genevieve Ng, consumer and glove analyst with MIDF Investment Bank, giving us some of her outlook and some of her views on how the consumer sector will play out. Her top pick, she mentioned F&N.
Yeah, this morning, 31 ringgit and 48 cents. Five buys, two holds. Consensus target price, 33 ringgit and 3 cents.
Okay, 9:28 in the morning. We're heading into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. After that, we have pressing matters where we look at the escalating crisis between Israel and Iran. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.